Live from Landing Zone Studios, this is Nola Famous. Good morning and happy Tuesday before Fat Tuesday. I'm here with my co-host, Terrence Osborne. Good morning, Terrence. Tell us who we have today.
Thank you so much, Tatum. I always feel welcome here with you. So today, I'm so excited. The guest that we have today is, she was elected the first councilwoman of Gretna. Actually, before that, she taught ballet. Who knew? Now, she is the first female woman of Gretna in almost 100 years of the city's history. We are so proud to welcome Mayor Belinda Constant.
Thank y'all so much.
Good morning, Belinda.
Thank you so much for being here.
I know this is the second time in a week we've actually had a female mayor on the show.
You know, kudos to you.
I know. We had Latoya Cantrell last week, mayor of New Orleans. And so we have you. I'm a Gretna girl, born and raised. So, my heart is in Gretna. I'm so excited to have you here just to discuss all of the positivity that's happening in our city.
Thank you, really, to both of you for what you do. And thank you for having me here today.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yes, definitely.
So let's start by talking about some of the events coming up in Gretna. I mean, you know, we have Lundi Gras coming up in Gretna.
We've got Lundi Gras. We've got, we celebrated the Crew of Cuties Children's Parade this last couple of weeks, which we're excited about the things that's happening with the organizers of that parade. It was tremendously successful. And again, we'll be doing Lundi Gras, an event that we kind of reinvigorated about 2 years ago. This will be the third year again that we're doing that, because absent Mardi Gras on the West Bank, you know, we thought it was important to do something, and Lundi Gras was something that everybody was really excited about. It's a concert under the marketplace in downtown Gretna, and it allows people to come and just enjoy all the amenities that we have in downtown. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, and Lundi Gras. So I have to tell you, you know, I did a poll this morning on Facebook. You know, knowing that you were coming on, I wanted everybody's opinion. And the question was, would you be interested in, you know, revamping or recreating Mardi Gras Day in Old Gretna? And I have to say it was 100% yes.
And that is, I am not surprised, because I think it's very noticeable that Mardi Gras Day is absent on the West Bank. And
yes,
it's something we miss tremendously. We do know there's been a lot of challenges, and before it went away, we did many things to try and energize the effort. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed that I don't know if it's the money. I'm sure it's a financial component to it. But, you know, there's nothing like Mardi Gras in New Orleans for the masses, right? And people gravitate to New Orleans for Mardi Gras Day. And, of course, there's a big Mardi Gras Day in Metairie as well. And we just felt like, you know, the crowds were getting smaller. But then when it went away, everybody's like, oh, it went away. And so, I don't know, we're still in conversations about that. We would love to see a Mardi Gras presence, of course, on the West Bank. We're excited about what Crew of Cuties is doing for Mardi Gras on the West Bank. I think we have an opportunity there. The organizers, who happen to be two friends of mine, that started in a neighborhood in Old Gretna, in Old Garden Park, and it has become tremendously successful. They moved it this year to downtown, which made a big difference because it was just on a broader scale, so to speak, and more participation.
So what is a crew of cuties?
So Crew of Cuties is a children's parade.
Ah.
It's the pull the wagon, ride the little stroller, parents walk, beautiful family opportunity. And we're looking at giving that a bigger picture and making that, maybe that's our big Mardi Gras celebration.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
So pre-Katrina, I moved my family to the West Bank post-Katrina. So Mardi Gras was pretty big pre-Katrina.
Yes.
It was.
In fact, a lot of the organizations that today parade on the traditional downtown route were West Bank organizations. Mm-hmm. Crew of Cleopatra, Crew of Allah, Crew of Choctaw. Mm-hmm. That was all West Bank parades that now parade
downtown. And there are two of them now only, right?
I think there's Adonis and Namtaka, the only parades on the West Bank.
Yeah.
I think one of the things with this is, you know, people didn't realize how much they appreciated it until it was gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, isn't that so true in life, right, about lots of things?
Because I remember some of my greatest childhood memories being on the parade route in Old Gretna, and that was a lot of the feedback I got this morning from the polls, that, you know, it was safer. It was just so easy because after parading all week downtown on St. Charles, you know, to just go to Popeye's, get your box of chicken, you know, go a mile from your house, sit down. It was a family day. It was like a reunion. You could see everybody from grammar school, high school. You knew so everybody true. Was in the Gretna, at the Gretna Parade.
So true.
To recreate something like that, I think would be great.
Yeah, we would love that opportunity for sure. It's something we definitely keep in the front of our mind. And if the opportunity ever exists where we think it could be successful, we would love to do that.
What do you think, Karen? Do you want to be the Grand Marshal of the West Bank Mardi
Gras? Oh, I would love to do that, yeah.
You know, there are rumblings about things like Italian-American, that kind of thing. Maybe St. Patrick's, maybe in March, so we don't compete with Mardi Gras. There's that in process right now, people talking about that. And I do know I can announce, because it's just gone live probably this week with posters, is Potty Dog Walk, which is going to be an Easter walking parade for the puppies.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yes, and they'll have an opportunity for your dog to be the Grand Dame or the Grand Duchess or the Grand Duke. So that'll be fun, and it'll be the Saturday before Easter.
Oh, fun. That is going to be fun.
So that's something coming that's new.
So what do you want for the city of Gretna?
You know, I think what we all want as elected officials is to be able to provide to a constituency a community that they can be proud of, that has rich and quality of life programming, a safe community, of course. And I think that's what people want today. Young professionals want to live, work, and play in a small environment, right, where they can walk or bike and a place where they can maybe attend social events as a family. Enjoy, right? Just enjoy the place that they call home. And today I think Gretna is achieving our goals. The elected officials, you know, the council members, we work tirelessly to provide a community, at least from the government end, that people are proud to call home.
I'm proud to call Gretna home. I feel like you have a lot of different activities throughout the year. You know, so, I mean, we have the Riverfront Amphitheater, which does the fall concerts.
Yes.
And it also does movie nights, correct?
Yes,
we do. At different times
of
the year.
Actually, we do the movies on Saturdays. So right after the weekend, right after festival starts our fall concert series, and we call Back to the Drive-In on Saturdays. So it's Friday night concerts, Saturday night, always children's movies. So the focus could be an adult, although our music is family-oriented. Your kids love rolling down the levee on the river, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm,
and they do that, and then on Saturdays we do the movies, children's movies.
Okay.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Some of the other things. Okay, so we have the spring tour of historic homes coming up.
Yes, that's something that Gretna Historic Society has been doing for many years. It's tremendously successful. You know, we have two historic districts now on the north side of the expressway. We've got what would be called the Village of Mechanicam, which is the original name for the downtown area as it was established before it was established as a city. And then, of course, McDonoughville, which is tremendously rich in history. Mm-hmm. And we have a second historic district there. Actually, we are working now, because today it's only locally recognized. We just received an opportunity for a grant so that McDonoughville can become nationally recognized and not just locally recognized. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, McDonoughville is exploding for sure. The real estate, I mean, let's just talk about real estate in Gretna, in Old Gretna.
I have to say, we're so proud of the information coming out relative to our property values and the real estate value.
Tripled. I mean, it's Old Gretna is definitely booming with real estate ventures.
I think the greatest compliment that I've ever heard about the city was from Jedco one day when I heard Jerry Bologna speak about the city and just talked about how Gretna has become the city of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of a better way to describe, you know, a time when you could be most proud of somebody and the way they speak about your city. And saying it in that light really, really made me feel proud of the city that we live in.
Yeah. You know, I love Gretna. I lived on the East Bank and until my wife and I started having kids, and we moved to the West Bank and to Gretna to raise our family. And so I love the city, and it feels safe. You know, not that the East Bank doesn't feel safe. It's just that it's a different environment for raising a family than the. I almost feel like it's kind of the Florida of, you know, how people move to Florida, retire, and like, settle, raise family, enjoy their life. Gretna offers that, and I love it, and all the cultures there too. So like especially the Gretna Festival, which is amazing. Now, I know Jazz Festival is the biggest festival in the city. Is Gretna the second biggest?
I really don't know, because there are so many, you know, festivals now, especially like with French Quarter Fest and Voodoo Fest and all that. So I really don't know where it, you know, fits into that relative to size and scope. But Gretna Fest for us and on the West Bank, it is the biggest festival for sure on the West Bank. And I would say I-49 corridor, let's say from the West Bank all the way down to Houma, Thibodaux, down that way. Yeah. I would think we're absolutely the largest festival in that direction. But there are, you know, like you said, with French Quarter Fest and stuff like that, we're probably not as big as maybe Voodoo and French Quarter either. But it is a great family. It's a great family festival.
Yes. It is.
You know?
And it's grown so much. I remember, you know, the first couple of years, and now it has taken over the entire downtown.
Yes, it really streets, it has.
You know. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the 25th year. So last year we took a huge hit with the weather. I don't know if you remember Gretna Fest last year, but it rained for three solid days.
So
when that happens, you take somewhat of a hit, right? So they're looking at maybe a little bit smaller scale this year. And, you know, just the attitude of back to the basics kind of thing, 25 years, where did we come from?
Right.
You know, who are we in the whole big scheme of festivals? And so I think this will be a great, great year to watch and participate in. So I think it'll be a great festival again this year.
Do you guys have anybody lined up yet for entertainment?
That was my question.
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not part of that, of the organization or the board itself that, you know, gets involved in all that. But
well, who would you want to see?
You know, I would love to see, of course, fill the place with locals and fill the place with all the most popular people that our people love to watch.
Yes.
Right? That the locals love to watch. Because we've got tremendous talent around this area.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And for a festival like Gretna, even though we do pull from many different states, you know, Florida, Alabama, and close by, we're at the end of the day the attitude of the locals, right?
Yes.
Not so much like with Jazz Fest, where they have most people come from out of town. So really give the people here the locals that they like to see, on top of course the name that would draw them, you know, to come for the weekend because of who it is. You know, I look back on some of the people that we've had. It's unbelievable. We had Blake Shelton at Gretna Fest.
I know, it's crazy.
when people didn't even realize who Blake Shelton was, you know, Alicia Keys. I mean, when you go back and look, when you look back at some of the people that came through Gretna Fest, it's amazing to see the talent that we've, you know, been able to have in our small city like the city of Gretna.
Well, so going back to our roots, maybe we can contact Blake and tell him to come back.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking call some of these people.
And Alicia
know?
Keys.
Yeah,
you know, Hunter Hayes when he was a little bitty boy, you know, since he's 5 and 6 and 7 years old, played his little accordion at Gretna Fest and become, and, you know, now he's a tremendous country singer. So,
hey,
yeah,
these people
that would
got
be a
their
great
start at the Gretna Fest. We'll claim that, right?
Yes, we should.
So let's talk about too. So we have another big event coming up in Gretna, and that is on March.
Yes, March 8th.
You know, tell us about that.
You know, we've been sitting here talking about programming, right, and events. And for me, as mayor, I love being able to showcase our city in that way. We've got people that have actually moved to Gretna because of Gretna Fest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always think about that when we're investing dollars in a city budget. Like, how are we going to make this city work? Where do we best invest our money? And many years ago, it was always a goal of mine and an opinion of mine that when you invite people to have a good time in your city, it gives them pause to sit down and relax and look around. And I think culture and programming has made the difference in the city, on top of other things. But I think that is something you can truly point to. And in the course of saying all that, years ago, we had the old historic post office building that the federal government wanted to sell. And we've had lots of people in the city looking at it to buy it, to put it into private use for maybe yet another law office in downtown Gretna. And then Ronnie Harris, who was mayor at the time, and myself, who was on the council, was absolutely opposed to the building becoming part of the private sector, but believed that it should have a public purpose. Mm-hmm. It was a historic building that had always been in public use. And we saw a fit for a small community black box theater. So that was many years ago now, probably mm-hmm. about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. It took many years to get the funding to rehab the facility. It was about a $1.3 million complete restoration, being a historic building. So we did that, and we had the big opening of the theater back in, I think it was 16, end of 15, 16. Tremendously successful. And so every couple of years we do now a gala, which is our fundraiser. The money goes to our nonprofit arm, which is called Backstage at the Post, significant of the post office, if you will. Mm. And of course, backstage meaning they raise money to pay for all the stuff you don't see, right? Because theater is expensive.
Right.
So yes. We're excited that on March 8th, we actually have some people flying in from New York to make this the best event that we can have. Tickets are available. They're going, but please come out, get your tickets. It's a $75 a seat. So it's up there in price, but just remember it's our fundraiser. We do it every couple of years. We don't do it every year, but I'm most excited about our friend, Michael Longoria, who is from the original cast of Jersey Boys, actually played Frankie.
Wow.
He is flying in from New York to help us with this gala.
So he's going to be entertainment. He will be,
yes, he is performing.
That's $75, that gets you basically a Broadway show.
It's a Broadway show. Abigail Gardner, who is a young female, she's about 26 years old, happened to be friends with her mom. Abigail was a NOCA kid, a theater kid, a JPEZ kid that grew up here, was involved in the arts. She now lives in New York City. She is in auditions all over. She has a degree in theater, and she's flying in as well. So on top of our locals, who always steps forward, because, you know, people in New Orleans are so giving. They're all about making communities and the arts work, right?
Yes.
Rockin' Doopsie is going to step in. The Yat Pack, David Cook and the Yat Pack, who's tremendously successful around this area. And David is always one of our people that, what can I do to help? What can I do to make it work? You know, me and the band are here for anything you need. So they're the house band. Jean-Marie Harris, an incredible jazz singer. And she is, you know, operates around the city and a lot of the clubs, and she sings 40s and 30s jazz, just all those great old songs. And she's one of the performers as well. So
you get all of these performers
for $75 and just a great evening in downtown. Come have dinner, come celebrate, and really see what New York entertainment looks like, right?
Right here in Gretna.
A lot when you think about it. I mean, $75, sometimes you'll go to one performance for $75. I mean, that's excellent.
That is so true. And it's what we're doing is taking reservations, so there's no fees on top of that. We didn't go to a service like Eventbrite or Ticketmaster. So all you have to do is call 363-1500, can pay by credit card, reserve the seat by phone. That is, and the individual asked for Cheryl. She's with our office. It benefits our facility. So the city is in conjunction with the nonprofit on this event. So we're working hand in hand with this event. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, that is very exciting. It sounds like a great time. If I wasn't out of town, I would definitely be there. Well,
I know.
Well, I'll be there.
Great, Terrence. We want you to be there.
I'll have a drink for you, Tatum.
Yes.
Thank you, Terrence.
We'll think about you, Tatum.
So let's talk about what else do we have going on. Restaurants. Let me ask you this. There's not a lot, but several warehouses I can think right now that are for sale in Old Gretna. If you could just say your perfect scenario, what would you like to see those warehouses become? What is something in Gretna you feel that we need more of?
You know, I would love to give more opportunity to young professionals, right?
Right.
And in saying that, I have been involved and have seen and visited things that are called Waymaker spaces and incubator spaces or shared spaces. And I think you're in one of those as we speak, and they're tremendously successful across the country. I know there are some here in New Orleans, but that's absent from the West Bank.
It is. Mm-hmm.
I would love to have that available to young professionals in the city. There are some spaces that we're looking at to see if we can make those things work. But they're such great places, right? Because what it does is it lends an opportunity to startup businesses, mm-hmm. whatever that may be. It can be in maybe hair salons, cosmetics,
podcasts.
Hello. It can be here's an example.
Basically, what it is the non-commitment of an overhead.
Yes.
It's a shared space. So you have a smaller office within a bigger building with a shared kitchen, a shared copy machine.
So as an individual business owner, right, you don't have to bear the burden of the entire package.
Exactly.
You've got your little space and you get to share equipment in some cases, especially if it's mercantile based, is let's say young seamstresses. We've got an incredible hat maker, a milliner that lives in Gretna, right? We just celebrated her. Her hat was on the runway in London for the Hat Week. Unbelievable, right? So she was, we honored her at the last council meeting, but as an example, for her to be able to begin that process in her craft, maybe this would be a space for her. It would be some computer tech where you have the 3D printer and you can't afford the 3D printer, but you've got the talent and you can begin to start a company relative to whatever it is. Terrence, you're an artist, an incredibly talented artist, right?
Yeah.
What about that? You know, in the art world, to lend somebody the opportunity, he has all the tools, just come in and pay so much a month to be able to, you know, become whatever it is that you see yourself being in the arts, right?
Like, here's a studio. You know, every artist needs that definitely to get started. Yeah.
So I think we've got some really great opportunities for that. As you said, Tatum, about warehouse space and some other space that's not even on people's radar. I think just because of the where it's situated in the city relative to downtown, I think we've got some maybe great opportunities for this to happen.
Yeah, if you get a coffee shop in there to start, that'll trigger it all off.
Have you seen
that recently, what the banks are doing, like Capital One?
Yes.
Yeah, they saw the commercial. Do you see it? Well, what they're doing is instead of it being a bank necessarily, I mean, it is a bank, but you walk into it and it's a coffee shop. You can buy coffee and sit down because their premise is, to get people in there. People spend a lot of time in coffee shops. So when's the last time you've been in a bank?
Right.
Right. So like that idea, I think that would be a wonderful start to start this whole incubator thing. Get a coffee shop in there and then it'll spread.
Studios, I'm with you.
And everything. Yeah.
Everything on a personal level, you know, to get to know everybody personal.
Speaking of personal, what's something personal to you that most people don't know about you that you would want? That you wouldn't mind people knowing, like something personal.
That's a tricky one. That's tough. You know, I don't know if a lot of people knew that I taught ballet. You know, that's just kind of like something in my past life that maybe they didn't know. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
That's good. So you used to, when you were a little girl to an adult, you did ballet and then you decided to teach. Is that how it
was? Yes. I taught the Gail Gotra Dance Studio was the first dance studio in the West Bank.
Yes.
I mean, she was the first teacher of the arts on the West Bank relative to dance. She started her dance in like the 40s. And then she taught for 60 years. Her daughter took over the studio. And I taught pretty much all of my adult life. I would teach at least one or two classes a week. And then in the last 15 years before I hung up the pointe shoes, I taught strictly ballet.
Mm. How'd you make the jump? I mean, you went from teaching ballet to...
Political career,
yeah. How does
you know? I never ever thought I'd find myself in this arena. It was never a goal. I was always the person helping out in political campaigns from the PR side of things, mm-hmm. Was always involved in nonprofit work, in raising money, in events, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I was working as a court stenographer for 20 years. That's what I was had done. And I always say I professionally grew up in the courthouse. And how I got involved in a lot of political campaigns. Some of the judges that I worked with, Judge Marion Edwards, who I worked with when he started drug court program, got heavily involved in alternative sentencing programs through the court and started a nonprofit to raise money for alternative sentencing programs. Got way involved in rehabilitation versus incarceration. Mm-hmm. Yes. Worked with that for 15 years. And started raising money, and then ultimately became the administrator of the drug court program. You know, had a passion for nonprofit work.
Yeah.
And got involved because my husband and I bought a historic home in Gretna, right, in 2000. And spent a lot of time in City Hall in the process of rehabbing the historic home. Learned a whole lot about the historic district at that time. Mm. And just really thought, you know what, I really think I could make a difference here in the historic district, because it was always a desire to introduce more programming into the city. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman who had the seat before me, Mrs. Sammy Marchese, who was a great friend of my family's actually, was retiring. And so I decided to run. And The rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, didn't come from a political background. My parents was like, "Why would you want to do that?" You know.
Resident of Gretna, I remember you going door to door. I mean, you did your own campaigning, knocking on doors, meeting, you know, the voters, and telling them what your mission was. And I remember that. Yeah, wow. I opened the door, and Belinda's standing there, wow. Like, "Hey, how are you? I want to introduce myself." And I thought that was really great.
And you know, Tatum, it's like looking back on it, it's pretty unbelievable. But you know, it's always hard to go back in time, right? And yeah. Get into the mindset of the day, if mm-hmm. you will, right? And in 2004, that's not that many years ago, right? Only 15 years ago. The thought of a woman being elected in Gretna was pretty foreign.
You're right.
But today, yeah. We can't really be like, really? But 15 years ago, I mean, I was basically told... I would knock on doors, and I had females say, "Oh, I think that's really a man's job." You know,
oh, really?
No offense, but you know, yeah. And then
can't imagine anybody saying
can you,
that.
Can
today.
You believe that? No. And no, also, today. You know, people telling me, "I don't think a woman can ever be elected in Gretna." And I was like, okay.
So you obviously love to prove
you know, and
wrong.
I just knock on the next door. Just knock on the next door. Knock on the next door, right?
Do you feel like you had hurdles to jump over after you became mayor? So, you know, you won the election.
Yeah.
Did being a woman get in the way of any of that?
Let me tell you, we're a small town, right? And mm-hmm. I've got great friends that I work with as elected officials. But 15 years ago, you were breaking barriers.
Yes.
I mean, it's a different... It's different. I don't even know how to explain it, but I always felt like it was part of my responsibility to ensure the transition was really okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I do have something to offer. It may be different,
right.
But it really is okay. And I think we can all work together on whatever that is.
Absolutely.
You know, so I really took a lot of that on in trying to ease the concerns, like, okay, what is she coming here to do? What is this all about?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right. Yeah.
What is she going to try to change? Because that is what I felt when I would speak about, well, this is really all I want to do. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a different perspective. It's not anything other than a different perspective, and that, mm-hmm. you know, being different, we all have a lot to offer to the picture, right?
Yes. I'd love to go back to talk to those people today that 15 years ago said, you know, I can't vote for you, you're a woman, or I think this is a man job. Now, fast forward all these years later, your second term, everything you've accomplished, I'd love to hear what they had to say today.
And, you know, I have to say at least two people have come up to me in the last 5 years and said, I have to apologize because I never thought you could do this job. At least two people have said that to me.
Wow.
And we have great conversation about it. And I get it mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. change is hard.
Yeah.
Change
yeah.
is hard. Yeah. And so, you know, I guess sometimes when we're the people introducing it, then we need to be the people to kind of, you know, just kind of massage that, you know, and just kind of show them how change can happen, even though it's not always easy to walk through that.
I'm so glad that women are becoming empowered now. Yeah. You know, it's been such a male-dominated society for such a long time. Like, let's do something different. You know, let's, and I, you know, I've said before that my wife pretty much manages my business and she pays all the bills and all that. And she does a great job. So it's like, I would love to see women across the board being empowered and having those positions to make decisions, with a feminine, twist to it. You know, I love the idea.
Yeah. And, you know, I think just as you said, we all have these inherent skills, right? Mm-hmm. And God, when you can see them all meshed together, mm-hmm. because everybody's, you know, got a voice and everybody has an opinion. And when you see that meld together and then everybody can agree on the end product.
Right.
Oh my God. Government works so good when that happens. And today that's what I feel like I have the privilege of working with. There's 5 council members that I get to work with every day. And I am their biggest advocate. You know, I get the legislative process. I love the administrative process. I feel that's really my background.
Right.
I've enjoyed this part of the equation. And I work in City Hall every day to make their job easier, you know, so that they can address the needs of the constituency, right? And so because we all understand, we don't always get what we want. But we know that we work through it for the benefit of the people. And I saw a billboard of Governor John Bel Edwards, I guess, as part of his new campaign slogan he may roll out is, you know, people over politics. You can't say it any easier.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I love
people
that.
People over politics. People are sick of politics. Mm-hmm. You know, turn
sick
on the TV.
To death.
They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. You know, they just want to be able to live their life in a safe, right?
Yes.
They want everything
happy,
that we want as small.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so just being able to, you know, for them to feel like things are working is so important to a constituency.
I definitely feel like things are working. I have to brag a little bit about the councilmen that represent my district, which is Mark Miller and Jackie Berthelot. The lines of communication with them are super open. We always know what's going on in the neighborhood. They have a pretty strong social media presence where they will actually address people when they have questions or concerns about, you know, something as small as, hey, what's this energy truck doing over here? Hey, what's going on, you know, at this, the canal? Are they cleaning it out? So I think it is important, like you said, people over politics. We just want to be kept, you know, in the light, not in the dark.
And
does a really good job of that.
You know, that's one thing that we started years ago when I got here as mayor is just give as much information as we can. You know, sometimes we still get criticized because people don't know fast enough, and that's our challenge now is how to get to them fast enough, right? Because of this crazy world we live in. But we do annual State of the City, if you will, addresses with every district. You know, we attend the community meetings. I know the council members, all of them at every district meeting, the council members are there. And I think that's incredibly important for people to feel comfortable with their elected officials, right? Because they believe that, you know, they lay out this platform. Last night, we had IMTT is the big tank farm that abuts Gretna. It's actually in an unincorporated Jefferson and Harvey, but people think it's in Gretna, right? And so we had a big public meeting last night with IMTT because they're rehabbing some tanks. Nothing to do with our city, but as I said last night, odor has no boundaries. You know,
right.
We smell it, so people ask. Mm-hmm. So we did that. We had Airbnb.
Okay. I'm glad you're touching on that because I wanted that. That was a meeting that just happened, right?
Just happened.
And in Gretna, you can be as involved as you want because y'all are really good about posting all of the meetings, the dates, the times. So if you want to show up and, you know, have a say or know what's going on, you can show up. So
yes.
Let's talk about that VRBO.
Okay. So Airbnb and SRTs, as we call them, short-term rentals or STRs, we know is a hot topic. Nationwide, probably.
Yes.
You know, we watch it play out in Orleans Parish. We watch it play out in Jefferson and every municipal government in between. And it's something that the council and the administration has been working on now for the better part of a year because we know even though we can't always find where they're operating in our city today illegally. And it's hard to find unless they're advertising on these social media sites, right? The other way we only know is if a neighbor complains, you know, we've got people coming in and out next door with suitcases every weekend, you know, then we're okay. We've kind of got a heads up. But other than that, they can sometimes operate way under the radar, and it's hard for code enforcement to deal with these things.
So is it illegal in Gretna to have one of these short-term rentals?
Today it is.
Okay.
Yes. So there is an ordinance that has been introduced. It was shared. That was the point of the public meeting, which, by the way, that was like the third public meeting that the council has had relative to giving out as much information. And, you know, every time we have these meetings, it's like a split right down the middle. 50% say no way, and the other 50% are saying yes. And, it, you know, these are the benefits. Because, quite frankly, in some cases, we can have just as much trouble, if not more, with the permanent rental, the permanent property owner who rents and pays no attention to that space.
Right. Well, so how do you feel about it? What do you think?
You know, I believe this. I believe that regulating can sometimes have a greater benefit because you can absolutely put an end to the problems, right? Yeah. When it goes unregulated, it sometimes can cause a wreak havoc on a community because it's a cat and mouse game. It's just us trying to find these people, you know, all day long. And then you show up at a residence and it's like, oh, I'm cousins to the owner. And then you get into property rights and you get into all kind of other things when you try to fight maybe a rental situation that you can't truly prove. What is it exactly? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it the short term? Is it family? Is it whatever? You know, so you've got all that. I just feel like if you have a complete set of ordinances that really keeps the lid on it, if you will, relative to one thing they're talking about is it can only be your property. It can't be whole home rental.
Okay.
That makes a difference. Mm-hmm. If you can only be, if it has to be the property that you have your homestead exemption on. Okay. So you can't be an investor. Mm-hmm. That's the bigger thing, I think, for a small city like Gretna. We saw what happened in the Bywater. We saw what happened in the Marigny. Those are basically Gretna situated, right? Yeah. That's that little small feel where you have all these walking amenities. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. So we can't afford to lose our city to STRs. Right. We just can't. And we need to protect the people that live, work, and play and pay the taxes and own the property. And, you know, since I've gotten there, I am a big proponent for home ownership. I'm always about that. You know, I get that there is a market for home rental, but a community like Gretna today, a hard fact is we're 50% rental property.
Really?
On the north side of the expressway, because our homes are conducive to that lifestyle. They're small shotguns. They're easy to manage versus a big home, right? Okay. They're not the four-bedroom houses that are really hard to have as rental property if you're an investor or own multi-properties. You're looking for the more manageable example, which would be a shotgun or a shotgun double.
Yeah. Right, and you also know? Something that's going to increase in value.
Something that's going to increase in value. So we're looking at, you know, and the council's going to work on next is what we call a homeowner, a property owner or renter's bill of rights is as an example, right? Okay. And you've seen it in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a way to enforce codes on the property owner in order to protect the individual who's renting the property.
Okay.
Because we have seen some horrific examples, especially post-Katrina, when you had property that was heavily damaged, property owner got the insurance money, didn't put it back into the property, charging exorbitant amount of rent, and they're living under conditions that's absolutely unacceptable by code. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to also protect that property and that renter with some legislative process. Yeah, and so they're going to look at this next too, so that, you know, investors just can't take advantage of a property. Mm-hmm. But hey, respect the property, especially when you've made claims and then, you know, failed to take care of the property.
Yeah. Right. And that's all the things that you address at the meetings. And if anybody wants to come and listen,
Yes.
Is there a set schedule for the meetings that people can attend?
We have our council meetings the second Wednesday of every month.
Right.
And then if there's a topic that people are heavily involved in, like short-term rentals, we'll begin to do the public process. And how that happens is council will usually introduce an ordinance. And basically that puts it out for public consumption, right? Because it gets in the newspaper and it's on social media and it's on our website. And people see that on the agenda and then they're invited to come and speak before it gets adopted. If anybody comes out and speaks, which usually is the case, that matter will ultimately sometimes be deferred for more public process.
If they speak against it.
Against it or in favor of, but have additional questions or say, what about this? What about that? Is it going to be, like in the case of STRs, is it going to be whole home? Is it going to be, do we need a home exemption? Can we have multiple? All those questions come up. And so we began public meetings about it. So this, as an example, was put on the agenda several months ago. I want to say maybe in October of last year, and we're still having public discussion about it. So that's something we're most proud of in the city. We, you know, we're not in a rush to do anything to adversely affect our community in any way.
Right.
It's a process.
It's actually, Terrence said, you take the words out of my mouth. We say it all the time. It's a process.
Yeah.
Be engaged in the process, and it makes for a better community.
It does.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So one of the best things about Gretna, I think, is the farmers market, which is held every Saturday morning.
Every Saturday morning since October of 2005. And that's something we're very proud of.
I mean, it's like that commercial. Yeah. You want art? We got that. Yeah. You want live crafts? We got that. Yes. You want crafts? We got that.
Yes. That is true. You know, I think that if you point to something other than Gretna Heritage Festival, right, which in a lot of ways put Gretna on the map, if you point to the single programming that probably changed downtown, it's the Gretna Farmers Market.
Yeah.
You know, that was absolutely a campaign of mine as councilwoman to start the farmers market. It was one of my goals in the 2005 campaign. And I had a core group of friends, four or five of us, and that was it. Okay, we're going to help you start the farmers market once you get elected. You know, I sent out mail pieces about the farmers market and what that could mean to a community, right? Just watching Crescent City and all of that. I had been to Crescent City several times and talked to the executive director at the time about starting it. They were so helpful and gave us all of the criteria of what we needed to do to make it right. And then I got sworn in July 1st, 2005, and 7 weeks later, everybody knows what happened, right?
Yeah.
Katrina.
Well, then I also read that the farmers market opened. It was the first farmers market to open post-Katrina, right?
It was the first market. So here's Katrina in August. And some of the people, a couple of the people that helped us that were with me on my committee, like just my great friends, and then a lady named Marcia Madair and her husband, who were going to step up and be the executive directors or the chairs of the farmers market, she called one day and said, because we weren't scheduled to start the market until March of 06. And she said, I think if we go travel around to Baton Rouge, we can get some people to come to this market and we can start it now, because there was absent.
And there was a need for it.
And there was a need for it.
And
then we get the call from Crescent City, who I had been working with. They were completely out of business, have all this product from other areas. And she's like, God, Belinda, if you could start this market, we'll just give you all the vendors.
Oh, wow.
The first market, which I want to say was October 17, somewhere around there, thousands of people. We had never advertised the market, but it became the hub of information for months.
Wow.
And every vendor came from Baton Rouge, Crescent City. It was a huge success, a huge market, until Crescent City opened up again.
Yeah. I think, like you said, Tatum, it was needed.
Yeah.
And I know, so it's every Saturday.
Every Saturday, 8:30. Every Saturday from 8:30 to 12:30. Art Walk is every second Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. And they only, the artists are there March, April, May.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a few artists come during the summer. Most of them don't like to sit in the summer, get so hot. Mm-hmm. And then they start back up again September, October, November, December.
Mm, yeah.
And then we have two big markets, one in May and one in October, which we allow lots of crafts up and down Huey P. Long. We do the port sale then, so they have the, you know, rummage sale on the neutral ground of Huey P. Long in October. So it's really turned out to be, I think, one of the greatest things that happened downtown, because all of a sudden it showcased downtown.
Right.
Yeah.
Prior to the market on Friday at 4:30, there was no reason to go back to downtown. There was no Tauntaun. There was no Gretna Depot. That was all Johnny's Po' Boy, Mother Restaurant. They were breakfast and lunch. That was it.
Yeah.
During the week.
During the week. Breakfast and lunch closed on weekends. I mean, it was like the city rolled up the carpet on a Friday at 4:30, and no one went downtown until Monday morning to go back to the courthouse.
Wow. And now, look, we have what? Gattuso's, the Labatt, we have Banana Blossom, Tauntaun, Huey P's, Gretna Depot, just
tremendous.
Yes.
Yeah. And other people looking as we speak, which I'm really excited about and can't talk about. But great restaurants
you have to
looking.
Come back.
I'll come back. I would love to.
I do want to ask about the ferry. Because that seems to be like, you know, it's a huge thing that people, it takes 5-10 minutes to get to the French Quarter right there. Is the ferry going?
Okay. So, you know, that is another thing that, you know, we got the privilege, if you will, because they were going to pull our ferry many years ago. And before they pulled it, of course, because we ultimately lost it. But before we lost it, we said, please let us try to transfer the route, you know, change the route. And instead of going from Gretna to Jackson, because at the time, the Walmart wasn't even open.
Right.
You know, this was before there was any reason to cross the river that way. But Canal Street was opened an opportunity. And it was tremendously successful in the midst of adversity, because every time Algiers Point broke, every time their ferry was down, they pulled Gretna's. Mm. So Gretna's ferry was never able to be used as a source of transportation, if you will, that was reliable and always there. So our workforce really couldn't use it in that way.
Yeah.
The only way we could use it was for recreational purposes, right?
Yeah.
And then half the time, some of the people got stuck in on Canal Street and the ferry wasn't coming back to get them.
No.
So it really was not... it was not good in that way. But I've got pictures of the Saints Super Bowl parade.
Mm-hmm.
And people, and that gave me like reason to pause and realize how critical transportation from the East Bank to the West Bank is,
mm-hmm.
and West Bank to the East Bank, and people don't realize.
Yes.
People didn't make it to that parade, if you remember. The bridge was a gridlock. Our ferry that left Gretna, if y'all are familiar, right? From the ferry house, the line from the ferry house, I'm talking ferry house being totally consumed with people, all the ramp on top of the ferry, totally consumed with people, down the ramp to the first block of Lavoisier Street.
Mm-hmm.
People in line to get on the ferry, and the cars couldn't hardly cross the bridge.
Wow.
God bless the
new guys. Yeah, I'm telling you. So we knew then there was really an absolute market for it. Even if you've got to pay for it, there's a market, right?
I agree.
So we are constantly in meetings about it. We're constantly looking for grant funding to engage in what we call the master plan of transit for the Mississippi River, which is near and dear to my heart. And it's something that I'm in multiple meetings with all the time. It's not a forgotten topic. It's about money. It's
maybe
about trying to get the catamarans built.
You know,
yes. The you know, the New Orleans catamarans that supposedly was funded. I know there's been some transition in that whole plan and what was going to happen with the new high speed water taxis. And we want to be on that map. We want to be on that master plan for transit. I think as they said to me many years ago, Mayor, these ferries are not engineered to go up and down river. That's not how a ferry is engineered. It's engineered to cross a river.
Right.
And so it definitely needs different technology, a different vessel to make it work. but I know there's a market for it. I happen to be past media co-chair of the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative, which is an organization comprises all the mayors on the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. One day I'd love to talk a little bit about that, because we have so much opportunity here in New Orleans relative to what we, how we view our river. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the big boats. I'm not talking about Carnival and Viking and all that. I'm talking about local business, local opportunities for water transit, and what that means to our communities that abut the river.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, maybe there can be some kind of entertainment on it, you know, like a band, and then maybe drinks can be served.
Absolutely. You know? That's where that I am, Terrence. Nice,
decorated, you know.
We can
make
ride that boat, okay? Yeah, I want to ride that boat.
Everybody would want to.
Put music and alcohol over there. Yes. Always.
Done. And, you know, Gretna's got the perfect ferry house. It's totally restored. It's, of course, owned by the state under the arm of DOTD, but we're in a lease, and Sean Wilson, who's a tremendous friend, who's the Secretary of Transportation, is absolutely amenable and understands what that could mean to a local community to be able to use that for economic development. So we've got great opportunity there one day.
Of course.
Yeah, not just there, but everywhere. So we know what's next for the city of Gretna. It's growing, it's blowing, it's doing amazing. What is next for Belinda?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I say this all the time, though. Being a woman of faith, I always keep my options open.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means for me. You know, I'm loving the job that I have right now, and loving just seeing a community come together as Gretna has come together. And who knows? I'm not really sure where or what I'll be doing next, but I'll leave my options open.
For sure. Is there anything you wanted to touch on that we hadn't talked about today?
No, I just truly appreciate you two and just applaud you and this new effort. I'm excited for y'all. I think this is a great opportunity, and I'm just happy that y'all had me here. And
well, thank you.
I'd love to come back one day.
Well,
We'd love to have you.
You're NOLA famous.
The point of the show is to focus only on the positivity of the guest and what they represent. So if you didn't have a fan when you came, I hope you have more when you leave.
Well, thank you. Because being an elected official, that is a breath of fresh air for me. And, you know, always a concern when someone sticks the microphone in your face. because you're wondering, okay, where is it coming from? You know, kind of thing. And so you're always overly cautious, I guess, in a sense. But I love when we can just sit down and talk honestly
No agenda.
About, you know, just some really good stuff.
Because we have some great stuff, you know. As I said before, I love the city of Gretna. I love you. I think you're doing an amazing job, and I'm proud to have you as the mayor of my city.
Yes,
thank you, Tate.
We're all West Bankers.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Thank you, Terrence.
West Bank.
West Bank.
Yeah, in fact, I started just to cut you off, Terrence, when you said, well, I moved from the East Bank to the West Bank. That's definitely not usually the case, you know?
Right.
But I hope people heard that, because we truly, or a community that is unique unto ourselves, and until you can experience that, it's crazy to me. If I can say one more little thing, because I don't know if we're out of time. But, okay, so Flirty Girl, right?
Yes.
And Lauren, who's the owner, who's become a great friend, really.
So glad to have her. We would love to get her on the show.
I'll have to put that little bug in her ear.
Definitely.
Because, you know, I would tell everybody, we would call and just, because we're absent retail, right? And I was always trying to get someone in, and I always say Flirty Girl would be the best opportunity. And she's heard me tell the story over and over again, because I had so many people, including my office, call her and say, please consider Gretna, because I felt like being a woman who had multiple stores, we just could take your inventory, right?
Yeah.
The risk may be a little less in my brain, right? That's what I'm thinking. So lo and behold, Bonnie Piku from Amore is another tremendous asset in downtown, right?
I love Amore.
A great friend. Again, she took a chance, and after several meetings, you know, meeting with me, you know, do you think we could make it, you know, on and on and on, and just kind of as an investor, you know, that's a lot to think about.
Right.
you know, just having her believe in some of the things I was saying and her investment being protected and all of the programming. Again, there you go, programming, mm-hmm. bringing people to her. That's huge, you yes. know, for a business owner, right? She ended up saying, I'm going to call her. Now, this is like 2 years in the making. So then Bonnie calls Lauren, and lo and behold, Lauren comes into the small property on UEP and apprehensively, I guess I should say, thinking, okay, well, they've been calling me. I'm going to just have to try this.
Yeah.
I want to say it was 4 months into it where it was a property that Bonnie and her family owned, and Lauren was wanting to buy the property.
Yeah.
Oh. And
If I remember correctly, wow. I think she actually opened Gretna Fest weekend.
She did.
And there was a line out the door.
She
and it
did.
Made me mm. so happy, because I think one of the most important things, and if I can stress this to everybody, you know, eat and shop and where you live. Support your yes. community.
Yes.
We have so many great restaurants over here. We are lacking retail, and hopefully being that Flirty Girl has kind of paved the way for
yes.
that, to understand, like, look, people can make it here. You just have to shop and support
yes.
the West Bank and Gretna.
Yes. And again, the rest is history, right?
Yes.
Lauren moves to what used to be a beauty salon. She bought that property, and she's like, I can't believe I'm buying property. But all that to say, back to what you said about moving to the West Bank, she told me I had never been to the West Bank.
Really?
And that is so true wow. for so yeah. many people,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that long bridge ride.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
Yeah. Yes.
With no toll now.
Yeah. Right.
And so Gretna, I always say, please check out Gretna.
Yeah.
We're perfectly situated at the foot of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And now with you, as you said, Tatum, toll free. Come see what Gretna's all about. Come eat at our restaurants and see what life is really like on the West Bank. It's, I think you would be pleasantly surprised, or quite surprised that it's maybe a little different than what you thought it would be, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
Of course, yes.
Don't judge it until you've seen it.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Come have lunch. If I'm
yes.
in there, I might even treat you to lunch. Come see what we're all about.
Yes.
So, Belinda, again, thank you. We'd love to have you back anytime. If you have some announcements, if you have anything you want to discuss, our door is always open.
That's yes. great. Thank you so much for what you yep. do. We need more shows like this.
Yes.
Nola Famous. See you next time.
All right.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.